listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some bad news and some good news, okay? And then I'm going to talk about Jesus and what he did for us and how much he loves us. And then I'm going to give you a chance to love him back. It's that simple. That's what I'm going to do today. And today I want to talk to you on the subject, good news for a change. Good news for a change. How many of you could use some good news for a change? Amen? We're surrounded by bad news all the time. There's just bad news. We need some good news for a change. Amen? I'm reminded of this defense attorney that told his client, he said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. He says, I'm going to give you the bad news first. He said, the blood test came back and your DNA is an exact match with the blood that was found at the crime scene. And the accused, he cried out. He was like, oh, no. He said, this is terrible. He said, this is horrible. He said, well, what's the good news? And the attorney replied, he said, well, according to your blood work, your cholesterol is down to 140. I'm reminded of a doctor that handed his patient a bottle of pills. And he told his patient, he said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you. He said, take one of these pills every day for the rest of your life and it should ease your symptoms. The patient said, Doc, that's great. Thank you so much. But there's only 3 pills in the bottle. To which the doctor said, well, that's the bad news. Or how about the wife that borrowed her husband's sports car without asking him? And she came to him and she said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is the airbags worked perfectly. I remember during our building process of this building that we're in today, if you remember, it took a little while to build this building. It's supposed to take 1 year. It took over 3 years for them to build this building. We had every delay possible. It would be a sermon series for me to share all of that with you, okay? But I remember it was after the design phase. Everything was approved. We had the drawings. The site prep was done. And they were forming, they were putting the form boards up for the concrete pad that we're on right now. And so they were getting everything formed. And at any moment, any day, we were expecting the steel for the metal building to be delivered. We were expecting it at any moment. And we had our weekly conference call with the builder. And I remember I was sitting in my office across from my desk. Pastor Andrew was sitting there. So I put the phone on speakerphone so he could hear also. And they were supposed to give us an update on where we were at. And boy, did they give us an update. I'll never forget, the project manager gets on the phone call and he says, Pastor Rocky, he was all giddy. I mean, like it was this like nervous laughter. He said, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. He said, which one do you want first? And I was like, well, I guess let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Give me the bad news. He said, well, here's the bad news. He said, the steel for the building has not been ordered. Now, remember, we're waiting on it to be delivered at any moment. He said, the steel for the building has not been delivered. Needless to say, this didn't sit well with me. And I said, what do you mean it has not been ordered? Clearly, somebody has dropped the ball. He then informed me that there was a misunderstanding with the steel building manufacturer. In other words, they got into an argument. And when they argued with the steel building manufacturer on the phone, they pulled our building from queue. In other words, they took it out of line to be manufactured. It's not on the radar. And I just said, what are you kidding me? And that was the first of many delays. But what it meant was that it was going to be another 8 to 10 weeks before the building would be delivered. Well, if you know anything about this project, from that day, it took about 5 months before they finally poured the concrete for this building, which was the good news. I said, what's the good news? And he said, well, the good news is we'll have plenty of time for the concrete to cure before they put the steel up, which isn't even a thing, I found out later. Like, it doesn't even matter. But it took 5 months. That steel building that they lost the order on, and then now it's being it was delivered, and it sat back here on the ground for months as they were trying to get the concrete poured for this building. I needed some good news. I just needed some good news. Have you ever been there in your life where you just, maybe you walked in here today and you just need some good news. Maybe life has just come at you hard. I mean, and you just don't know what to do. It just seems so discouraging. And if that's you, I want you to understand you're in the right place. You need some relief from all the bad news that you're surrounded with, because it seems like this: everywhere that we turn, there's bad news, and it comes at us from every angle. If we tune into the actual news, like whatever the news station of your choice is, when we tune in, it's usually bad news. For every good feel-good piece that they have, there's usually about 10 negative pieces that we're hit with, right? When we log on to social media, it's just bad news. It's fighting, it's bickering, it's comparison. It's just everything on social media just feels so negative all the time. Then there's politics. Poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. Many blood-sucking insects in Congress, right? So, but politics, it's just so negative in politics. Social injustices are just everywhere. And it just feels like there's always bad news. We no longer witness random acts of kindness. Now, we actually see, sometimes in real time, random acts of violence. It happens. On a weekly basis, there's another shocking video that we see a reel or we see a YouTube video or something that just blows our minds. Like, how did we get here? Just this week, I was watching the news and I saw this video of a guy standing, waiting on a train. And he's standing there on the platform, the train platform, and there's a guy kind of hanging out behind him, and he decides he wants to push the guy into an oncoming train. So he times it just right as this train is speeding by, and he tries to push the guy. Thankfully, the victim, he gets his footing secured, and he gets his balance, and the guy tries to push him again and then runs off. They later caught the guy. And they said that he needed to have a mental health evaluation. And I'm like, duh. I mean, he's crazy. He tried to kill somebody that he didn't even know for no reason at all. Random acts of violence just take place. This world is crazy, and it's only getting crazier. And so we need some good news. And I want you to know, you came to the right place, because I've got the greatest news anyone could ever share with you today. I do. I've got some wonderful news for you. It's going to change your life. But first, the bad news. I've got to give you the bad news first. In order for you to appreciate the good news that I need to share with you, you've got to understand the bad news. And here's the bad news. When humanity first disobeyed and sinned against God, that sinful nature was birthed within each of us. And I know that's hard for some of you to understand, because you just think if you're a good person, that somehow your eternity is going to be okay. That if you just do enough good, and you see, you can't come to the Father, you can't come back into communion with God unless you come through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, is what he said. And so you might think that you are without sin, but the truth is we were all born with a sinful nature. Romans 5 and 12, Paul says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Everyone. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us falls short of God's glory because of the sin that's in our lives. The psalmist said in Psalm 51:5, for I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. So from the moment of my conception, when I became human, there's a sinful nature within me. And I see the look on some of your faces. I can see the disagreement there, because you're thinking about your precious little baby. And you're like, have you seen my sweet little girl, Pastor Rocky? She is sinless. Have you seen my precious little boy? He is without sin. And I can prove to you that they're not. Have you seen what comes out of these children? Like projectile vomiting. How does a little baby, like a little child, how does a child like that projectile vomit so strong? Like I remember when Mandy and I were raising Kendall and Caleb, and they were just little guys. You know, they're twins, and they would ride in the back seat of the car in their car seats. And And we were poor. We didn't know it. It was in my first year of being a youth pastor, and I was working for pennies. And we had no other choice. We had to like give our kids Tang. You remember Tang? Some of you don't know, and you're blessed. Tang. They sold it as, this is what the astronauts drink, you know. I doubt it. But we had to give our kids Tang. And so Caleb was right behind me. Kendall was behind her mom. And we're driving down the road. I'm driving. And Caleb's got his sippy cup, and he's drinking Tang. And all of a sudden, Caleb gets car sick. That's what you have to understand. Caleb gets car sick. He still does to this day. So if he's riding with you, don't put him in the back. Put him in the front seat, okay? Make sure he's in the front seat. We're riding between Live Oak and Lake City. We went to church in Live Oak, and we lived in Lake City at the time. It's 30 minutes, and we're taking that winding road, Highway 90 there, when all of a sudden I hear, I'm not even going to make the noise. It'll make some of you sick. I don't need that breaking out in this room. This steady stream of projectile vomit that is tattooing the back of my seat. Just, bah! And I'm like, how does this much come out of this kid? Like, it won't stop. I have to pull over and, like, you know, put a cork in his mouth or something, you know. It wouldn't stop. It just kept on coming. And there was Tang everywhere down the back of the seat and the floorboard. I had to clean this mess up. That's sin. That is a sinful child right there. And what's up with these explosive diapers? You ever seen that? You tell me that's a sweet little child that does that? No. I'll give you one word and prove it to you. Meconium. Now see, there's a lot of people in the room who have no idea what I'm talking about. You're blessed. You're blessed. But for those of you that know, meconium is manufactured in the pits of hell, and it is an exorcism all in itself. Amen? All the parents in the room say amen? Yeah. Make no mistake about it. You and I were born sinners. And what's worse is we can't fix that. We can't do anything good enough to fix it. It's beyond our ability. I know this is bad news. It's beyond our ability. We cannot do enough good to become sinless. It's a sentence that we didn't ask for, but we lived up to. And we're sinners. And it's that sin that separates us from God. That's the bad news. But today is about good news for a change. Amen? And the word gospel means good news. The gospel means good news. The gospel of Matthew is the good news of Jesus Christ as recorded by Matthew. The good news of Mark is the good news of Jesus Christ as recorded by Mark. The good news of Luke, or the gospel of Luke, is the good news of Jesus Christ as recorded by Luke. And the gospel of John is the good news of Jesus Christ as recorded by John. The gospels are good news. They tell the story of Jesus Christ. They tell the good news of Jesus. And I'm going to read to you out of Luke chapter 2. And this is going to be strange because this is Resurrection Sunday. This is Easter. You expect to hear what I'm about to read to you on Christmas, but not Easter. But it's important. I think in order for us to understand what we're talking about when we say good news, we've got to go back to Luke chapter 2. And it is. It's risky because it sounds like a Christmas message. But I have to point out to you what the angels told the shepherds when Jesus was born, okay? This is so important. This is the foundation for what I want to show you right now. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." Somebody say good news. Good news. Angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now the original Greek word that's used in verse 10 for the term good news is this Greek word called euangelion. Euangelion. And I shared this in a sermon a few years ago, but I think in order for us to understand it, I just need to talk about it just for a moment. Because the prefix you, E-U, pronounced you, it means good and pleasant. Good and pleasant. It's where we get the word eulogy from. And I know what you're thinking. A eulogy is used at the time of someone's death. I get it. But one of the greatest honors of my life as a pastor is to eulogize a person's life. I take great pride in it. I mean, it's just something that I put a lot of work into when I'm asked to eulogize someone. A eulogy is a speech or a writing in praise of a person, especially one who recently died. A eulogy is a good word said about someone's life. And so, like I said, I take great pride in telling the good of one's life. My goal is to celebrate the positives and memorialize them in a positive light. And there's been some people along the way that they've been some challenges to memorialize them that way, but it's even a greater challenge. I've had the great honor of eulogizing some of your loved ones, and I'll carry that for the rest of my life on what a great honor that is. The second root word is angelion, which means message. You see, angels are messengers. Angelos, angels, angelos. Ones who carry a message, they deliver the news. So you put these two root words together, and you get this word, euangelion, which means good news. In church, on that hillside outside of Bethlehem that night that Jesus was born, the angels had some good news for those shepherds. Out of everyone that they could have picked to share that with first, they chose the shepherds, the lowlife of society. The ones that everyone else counted out, the ones that nobody else trusted, they chose those shepherds that night to share the good news with. And the good news was this, is that their Savior, the one that the Jews had been waiting for, the Christ was being born. But here's what I love about it. Here's part of the good news for us. It wasn't just for them. It wasn't just for the shepherds. And it wasn't just for the Jews. They said that it was good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for everyone, all the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, right? It's for all of us. We were all included in this blessing, and it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what they did to you. The good news is for you. The good news is for me, amen? And so the bad news is this, all have sinned. No one's exempt from this. All have sinned. The good news is that the good news is for all the people. In other words, there's good news for all of us sinners. At the beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus walked into a synagogue in his childhood hometown of Nazareth. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 4. And he stood up to read from the Holy Scriptures. In the synagogue, he went to a podium. They handed him a scroll, and it was a very specific scroll, and then he finds a very specific verse that he wants to read. And I want to share this with you because, again, it's just solidifying everything that I'm trying to tell you today. And so he stood up to read from the Holy Old Testament Scriptures, and here's what he says. Luke 4 and verse 17 says, "The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written," and here's what he specifically finds to read. And listen to this. Many scholars believe that this is his mission statement. This is at the beginning of his earthly ministry, and many believe that he was setting the standard. Like, this is the reason I'm here. This is my mission statement. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Somebody say good news. He said he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." You see, Jesus, he wasn't just bringing good news. Jesus was the good news. He was the good news for humanity. The Son of God left the throne of heaven and became one of us so that he could pay the price for our sin. He became a man, and he didn't shortcut his way through it. You see, he could have just been showed up on the scene as a full-grown man, the next day died for our sins. But that's not what happened. You see, he became one of us, and he was born just like us, which means he had to grow, he had to mature, he had to go through life just like us, because there were no shortcuts. If he was going to do this and he was going to do it right, he knew that he could not have any shortcuts with this, because our salvation was that important. And so he started as a child, and he grew, and he was a man that knew no sin, because he had to be the spotless lamb that had to be sacrificed for us. Something was going to have to die in order for us to be redeemed, in order for us to be found innocent of our sins. And part of the good news is this, is that he died for us, right? He died for us. But wait, there's more. It's got like a good infomercial, right? But wait, there's more. ShamWow. If someone is under the age of 25 next to you, you'll have to explain to them what ShamWow is. They have no idea. The Apostle Paul described it like this, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. Listen to this. Here's the more. He said, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried." And here it is. "And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said." This is better news. This is great news. Because, you see, we would have been redeemed with him dying as a sinless man in our place. But the fact that he was resurrected, the fact that he lives, it secures our eternity. That we get to live with Christ Jesus in eternity. He was securing our eternity. He was raised from the dead on the third day. Verse 5, Paul begins to give us a list of eyewitnesses. He wants to prove this. And so he tells us he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. And then he tells them this: most of them are still alive, though some have died. In other words, you can still go find these people that saw him. Over 500 of them saw him at one time. You can still go find them, and they'll tell you exactly what I'm telling you. Then he was seen by James. That's the brother of Jesus, who did not believe when Christ was first alive. He says, you can go ask his brother. His brother's not going to cover for him. His brother saw him alive and will tell you. And later, by all the apostles. And I love this in verse 8. And he says, last of all, as though I'd been born at the wrong time, he said, I also saw him. He said, I saw him. I saw a resurrected Jesus. And he's telling them, this isn't folklore. This isn't some fairy tale. This isn't a story just to make us feel good about ourselves, because we do wrong and we can find forgiveness for it. He says this is real, and there are eyewitnesses to this, and we can rest assured in knowing this. But what I love about all of this is Paul. Paul is an eyewitness, because if you know anything about Paul's life, Paul hated Christians. He hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. As a young man, he held the cloaks of those men that were stoning the first martyr, Stephen. They were stoning him to death because of his Christian faith. Paul held their cloaks. You know why he held their cloaks? So that they could wind up and throw harder. He wanted Christians dead. And Paul says, I met a resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the resurrection of Jesus, it changed his life. It changed my life, and it can change your life too. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are forgiven of our sins, and we gain eternal life through him. And the beauty of all of this is that you don't have to do anything at all to gain this salvation except believe it and receive it. That's it. That's all you have to do. If anybody else tells you anything other than that, they're wrong. To get salvation, to gain salvation from Jesus Christ, you have to believe he's the Son of God and that he died for your sins and that he was resurrected. If you can believe that, you can be saved. Now understand this. There's discipleship that takes place after you become a believer, okay? I'm not discrediting that. But in order for you to gain eternal life, in order for you to be forgiven for your sins, you just have to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." That's believing. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." And today, church, you get a chance to receive his love that was poured out for you. I like how Paul said it in Romans 1 and 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." So it's for all of us. We get to receive God's love, but we just have to receive it. What a gift that has been offered to us. In 1981... radio stations across the continental U.S. reported a story about the stolen car in California. And it's crazy when you think about it. A car is stolen in California. I mean, there's a car stolen in California every 1.2 seconds. But a car was stolen in California, and news stations all across the U.S. started sharing this story. And the reason why is because the police were staging this extensive investigation for the vehicle, and more importantly, for the driver, even to the point of placing these announcements on radio stations to contact the thief. They wanted to make contact with the thief. And the reason for the intense search was because the owner of the Volkswagen that was stolen told the police, "There's a box of crackers on the passenger side seat. It is imperative that the driver, the thief, does not eat those crackers, because if they do, it's going to kill them." The crackers were laced with rat poison. She was going to use the crackers as bait for rats, had already laced them with poison, and knew that if the thief... Now some of you are like, "Well, that's what they deserve." But the owner of the car was like, "No, they don't deserve to die over this." And so they put out this massive search to try and get the word out. You see, we often run from God because we feel like we have to escape his punishment because somebody told you that God's angry with you. Somebody didn't express the love of God to you in the right way. And listen, I understand he's a righteous judge. There will be a day that humanity will be judged. But right now, we're in the dispensation of grace. And it's God's love. It's God's love. Romans 2 and 4 tells us that it's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. We don't need to be running from God because we're afraid he's going to punish us. Instead, we need to be running to him because he's our rescuer. He's come to save us from ourselves, from our own sin. He's come to save us. And he's been relentless in his pursuit. He keeps coming after us. No matter how many times we get it wrong, he keeps pursuing us. He keeps coming after us. And it breaks all the rules of relationships because at some point we would tell people, no, guard yourself. But God says, "I'm not about guarding myself because I love you so much. I'll keep pursuing you. I'll keep coming after you." Maybe you're here and you have yet to receive that good news into your life. Maybe you need forgiveness. There's only one who can forgive you of your sins. Maybe you're ready to make sure that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can give you eternal life. And if that's you, I want you to know you're in a safe place. You're in the right place because we believe in the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus Christ. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, please, no one looking. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not asking you to come forward. But I do want to know who I'm praying for. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking, if that's you and you need forgiveness, you want to know that you're forgiven and you want to know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand high right now. I promise you I will not embarrass you. Yes, thank you, thank you. Raise them high. Raise them high. Leave them up. Leave them up all over the room. Leave them up. I'm going to ask one more time just to give everyone an opportunity. If you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to know that you're forgiven, raise your hand high. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Church, I want you to look up at me. There's 9 people in this room alone that said, I need Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know at the FWRC, at the women's prison, I know there's others there that raised their hands. And I'm sure there's others that are watching online. Here's what we're going to do. There's some biblical statements that we want to help you make, some acknowledgments that we want to help you make out loud. But so that you're not singled out and that you have the courage to say it out loud, we're going to say it with you, okay? It's going to be my words, and everyone's going to repeat it, but I want you to make it your prayer. If you raised your hand, make my prayer your prayer. Mean it from your heart. Say it with conviction. Say it with courage. So, church, let's look to heaven. Let's say this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that He rose again, giving me eternal life. And today, I make Him the Lord of my life. In His name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me. Scripture says heaven is celebrating over that decision that you just made, okay? Heaven is celebrating, and we want to celebrate you too. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's another step that I want to ask you to make that I can't do for you, okay? I can't do this for you. I can tell you how, but I can't do this. You have to do it. You see, Jesus said this statement. He says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. And there's coming this day that we're all going to have to stand before a righteous judge. It's plain as day in Scripture. We're going to stand and we're going to give an account for our lives. I want Jesus Christ there with me as my advocate. Because when He says, Father, this one's with me, we get to enter into the joys of the Lord. Okay? There is nothing for you to be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed. I'm a sinner that is saved by God's grace. And I'm not afraid to tell you, Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. And what's just happened in your life, there's no need to be ashamed, okay? The book of Revelation tells us this, that we, believers, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus dying for us, and the word of our testimony. And so when we testify about what God has done in our lives, that Christ has saved us, that He's the Lord of our lives, when we testify, it actually helps us overcome the enemy. It gives us strength to overcome the enemy. We defeat the enemy with our testimony. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Here's your first testimony, and it's so easy. Trust me, it's so easy. In that chair back pocket in front of you, if you raised your hand, look in that chair back pocket in front of you, there's a card that says commit. I want you to get that card right now. Get the pen next to it, and I want you to begin to fill that card out. Fill out that commit card. At the end of service, when everyone in the room is dismissed and we're all walking out, our prayer team is going to be around the front here to pray with anyone who has a need in your life. If you've got a need, come down and let them pray with you and agree with you in prayer on whatever that specific need is. But for those of you that raised your hand, listen close to me. This is so important, and the enemy's trying to talk you out of it right now because he knows how powerful this is for your life. You've got to tell somebody what's just happened. It's strength for your journey, and your faith walk is made stronger when you do this. At the end of service, when we're dismissed, everyone's walking out, and our prayer team is here around the front, I want you to bring that commit card. I want you to bring it down the aisle, bring it to one of our prayer team members. And when you hand it to them, I want you to say these words. Today I made Jesus the Lord of my life. If you forget what to say, it's on the card. Just read the card. Today I made Jesus the Lord of my life. It really is that easy. We keep it simple because he made it so easy for us. He did all the hard work. He's the one that died. And he's also the one that is resurrected. And he's the one that gave us eternal life. And so bring that card, hand it to them, tell them, today I made Jesus the Lord of my life. When you do that, they're going to put a book in your hand that tells you all about your next steps. It's free. It's our investment into your life. It's a great read. It's going to help you. But more than anything else, you need to testify. And this is your first testimony. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. Amen. We believe in you. We believe in you. You can do this. And we want to encourage you with that. Let's stand all over this room. One more time. Would you praise the Lord for all that he has done? Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.